Damascus. Money back guarantee. 1982, Edensbury, New Hampshire. A crisp spring breeze tickled the back of Rosemary Lanchester's neck while she sat at the kitchen table, calculating her take from last night's haul. It had been a hell of an evening, her best so far.
Almost better than robbing banks, except much safer.
She paused and considered changing the station, but the radio was across the kitchen on the fridge. She couldn't help but think of the Virginia Slim slogan,
"You've come a long way, baby."
Sure, it was borderline sexist, but it drove the point home. She felt a brief shudder when she thought about how things could have gone for her.
And they said I couldn't be domesticated.
Now she craved a cigarette, but that wasn't going to happen. She'd quit a year ago, and despite countless urges, she hadn't picked up a single Slim since. Gavin's leaden footsteps bumbled from upstairs. He'd be down any minute now, ready for his Sunday grapefruit and coffee. Rosemary couldn't wait to show him.
Little hobby, my ass.
Huh?
Her son Dwight waltzed into the kitchen, sleep crust in the corners of his eyes, hair standing on end as if he'd jammed his finger in an electrical socket. Again.
Oh, nothing. You want some cereal?
He eyed the paperwork scattered atop the table.
Can I eat sugar pops in the living room? Scooby-Doo is on.
She poured him a bowl, added the tiniest splash of milk. He refused to eat cereal once it got soggy, and brought it to the coffee table in the living room, along with a cinnamon Pop-Tart and a glass of orange juice. He jammed his spoon into the center of the sugar pops, his eyes already glazed over from the sugar high, while he watched Shaggy steal Scooby snacks. Gavin lumbered down the stairs in his brown yard work slacks, itchy sweater that was so stained she wondered why she even bothered to wash it anymore, and battered hush puppies. It could be 100 degrees and he had to wear that sweater to work on the yard. She swore he suffered through heat exhaustion just to embarrass her.
Morning, babe.
He followed her into the kitchen. She took the grapefruit out of the fridge, cut it in half, and cleared a spot for him to eat.
What's all this?
He worked at the grapefruit with a serrated spoon. A squirt of juice splattered on his sweater. The old rag just absorbed the splotch, melding it with the others. Rosemary imagined the other blemishes chanting, "One of us," as they accepted it into the family of filth. She poured them each a cup of coffee and sat next to him, unable to keep her smile reaching from ear to ear.
"Those, my dear, are my sales slips from last night's Tupperware party."
He shuffled through the orders.
"What's this number here?"
"That's my commission for each sale. You want to know how much it adds up to?"
"I have a feeling no matter what I say, you're going to tell me anyway."
$67.
Whoa. Are you kidding me?
"No. And that's even with me taking out the money I spent on the fondue and snacks for the ladies. How do you like that?"
He reached over and squeezed her hand.
"I love it. Being sequestered in our bedroom all night was definitely worth it. Sounded like one hell of a hen party."
"That hen party was the sound of business."
"I'm only kidding. I'm really proud of you. Maybe I should take up selling Tupperware and be my own boss."
She stood and ruffled his hair.
"Stick to your computers. You don't have the connections to make it in the Tupperware biz."
"Did Mom really make $67?
Dwight entered the kitchen with his empty bowl in hand. There must be a commercial on, Rosemary thought.
She sure did.
"Stay right there. I want to show you something."
Dwight turned tail and ran upstairs. Rosemary leaned against the sink and saw her husband get grapefruit juice on some order sheets.
"Hey, be careful."
"Don't blame me. It's the damn grapefruit."
She gathered everything up and moved the pile to the counter. She'd finish her paperwork after breakfast. Dwight returned carrying a comic book. Rosemary saw it was the new issue of Spider-Man he begged for at the stationery store last week. He opened the comic to a page near the back.
"Since you have a whole lot of money now, can we order this? I promise if you buy it, I'll do all the chores around the house for a month."
I've heard that before.
Rosemary took the comic.
"If we get it soon, I could bring it to Jimmy's pool."
Rosemary had to stifle a chuckle. At 9, Dwight was a bundle of boundless enthusiasm. She knew that if she gave in to him, he would hold true to his promise about doing the chores. For the first few days, at least.
"What is it this time?"
Rosemary looked at the full-page ad for a 6-foot nuclear submarine. There were a ton of exclamation points touting all of its amazing features, including a working periscope, interior lighting, real control panel, and not just two, but four torpedoes that a child could fire from his or her incredible nuclear submersible. She showed the ad to her husband.
Where are we supposed to keep a 6-foot submarine?
The garage! We could put it over by the rigs and stuff.
And you plan to do a lot of deep water exploring?
Oh, yeah. And it fits two people, so Jimmy can come with me.
Rosemary read about the pride of ownership of a nuclear submarine, the most feared fighting ship in the high seas. Each sub went through rigorous field testing and would provide not just hours, but entire days of fun and excitement.
You know, I won't let your dad buy a microwave because I worry about radiation. This seems kind of dangerous.
But it's just based on a nuclear sub. They can't actually give nuclear stuff to kids.
Oh, I see. Well, that makes sense.
Gavin patted her ass as he walked by, heading toward the back door and a morning of mowing.
I'll let you guys decide this one. It would be kind of nice having our own submarine. You never know when it'll come in handy. I just hope it's better than those 1,000 army men that turned out to be thinner than paper and unable to stand up.
Dwight pointed at the ad with his slender finger.
Those army men were cheap. This is $5.
The sincerity in his conviction made Rosemary's heart ache. She was feeling so good today, how could she say no? After all, she did have $65 that she hadn't had yesterday.
Plus, it has a money-back guarantee. See, it's right at the bottom. Not that we'll need it. It'll be too awesome to give back.
Rosemary crouched down so they were eye level.
I'll tell you what. You go upstairs and get me an envelope and one stamp. I'll fill out the form and write a check, and you can put it in the mail.
His eyes lit up, and he draped his arms around her neck. His breath smelled sugary sweet.
Thank you, Mommy! Thank you!
Rosemary got her pocketbook while he rooted around for an envelope. His excitement even had her heart beating a little faster. Tuesday nights were slotted for ceramics class and her friend Linda. Rosemary was currently working on a cute little Christmas tree with slots for colored cones of plastic that would look like lights when she turned on the 25-watt bulb she'd installed in the center of the hollow tree. It would look so nice on the radiator cover in the living room, the centerpiece of her Christmas village. It was a little hard thinking of Christmas when the thermometer read 90 degrees. Rosemary had planned 3 more Tupperware parties between July and October. She'd earn enough extra money to make it the best Christmas the Lanchester abode had ever seen.
Hey, you taking Linda, or is it her turn to drive?
Gavin was helping to clean up after dinner.
It's her turn. Why do you ask?
When I was coming home, I saw her stumbling out of the Dewdrop Inn. I don't think she was selling raffle tickets for the church relief fund.
Rosemary draped a dish towel over her shoulder. Linda was having a rough time with her divorce. Vito wasn't making things easy. He was constantly popping by the house to buy their kids affection, refusing to sign the final papers, and when he'd had a few, threatening her over the phone. Or worst of all, that time he tried to break into the house at 1 a.m. As far as Rosemary was concerned, Linda had every right to have a few at the Dewdrop Inn. However, not at the expense of driving them into a tree. She grabbed Gavin.
I love you, you know that? Thank you for always looking out for me and Dwight.
He pulled her in for another kiss. His hands massaging her back, fingers slipping under her bra strap. She stepped away before things got too hot and heavy with their son in the next room.
It's what I'm paid to do.
She swatted him on the ass with a dish towel.
I'll get it.
Little early for ceramics.
Mom, Dad, can you come here?
They hurried to the front door, bolstered by the strange tone in Dwight's voice. A delivery man stood on the porch holding a clipboard.
I just need someone to sign for this.
His shirt was dark with sweat rings. Even his mustache had a few drops of perspiration nestled in its short hairs. Rosemary quickly took the proffered pen and scribbled her signature on the delivery confirmation.
Thank you. I'll be back in a sec.
He shuffled to his truck, slowly getting a handcart out from a compartment in the back, and strapped a tall box onto it. It seemed to take him forever to wheel it to the porch.
You look like you could use a drink.
Thank you. I ask and ask for one of the new trucks with AC, but I keep drawing that old jalopy.
He gave the glass back to her.
You all have a good night.
Gavin and Dwight carefully laid the box on its side.
Is it heavy?
Nope.
What the heck can it be?
Gavin bent down to read the shipping label.
It's from Adventure Company in Teagan's Mills, South Carolina.
Yes!
Dwight started jumping up and down as if his little league team had just won the championship.
It's my sub!
Your sub?
Gavin got his pocket knife out. The pocket knife had been a gift from his late father. He never went anywhere without it.
Yeah, the nuclear submarine Mom ordered for me.
Of course. It was so long ago, I forgot all about it.
Well, I didn't.
Dwight on his knees watched his father run the knife along the edge of the box, slicing through the thick brown packing tape.
Give me a little room, bud. I don't want to accidentally cut you.
Bits of styrofoam and straw littered the floor. Rosemary bristled, each tug spilling scads of crud, which meant more sweeping and vacuuming when all was said and done.
Huh.
Gavin eyed the long, flat slab of gray-colored cardboard. Dwight scooped up a folded sheet of paper that had fallen out of the box.
It says some assembly required.
He had lost little of his zeal, despite the cheap appearance of his nuclear submarine that was currently flatter than a flapjack and looked like it would be as sturdy as, well, a cardboard sub.
I'm assuming I won't be needing a screwdriver or hammer.
Rosemary held her tongue. There was no sense denigrating the cheap piece of crap, not when her son was so excited about it.
Do you need my help?
Dwight's brow was knit in deep concentration as he pored over the instructions. She looked over his shoulder and saw the poor artist's rendition of how the sub was supposed to, as it said at the top of the page,
come to life with just a few simple steps.
Can you go back there and hold that part?
Dwight pointed to where he needed her to go without looking up from the page.
Aye, aye, Captain.
She ruffled his hair.
And Dad, you grab over there.
Yes, sir.
Rosemary hoped that Dwight wouldn't be too disappointed once everything was put together. Better yet, she prayed his imagination would win out over corporate greed and hucksterism, reimagining this obvious piece of crap into the wonder sub he'd been waiting weeks to get.
Okay, when I say pull, you each tug on your end. The middle will pop out and I'll fold down the supports. You got it?
Got it.
Dwight paused for a moment. Rosemary thought she could see his little heart beating faster than a hummingbird's wings through his incredible Hulk t-shirt.
Ready? Set, pull!
She and Gavin gave a slight tug, afraid of ripping the thing in two. When nothing happened, they pulled harder. The sides of the sub began to bulge outward.
Keep going. You're almost there.
Rosemary was pulling so hard now, she almost lost her grip.
This is harder than I thought.
Gavin's tongue poked out the side of his mouth, the way it always did when he struggled with something.
But it's working.
Amazingly, it was taking the shape of a submarine. Her shoulders cracked and then the top of the sub unfolded into place.
Hold it, just like that.
He stood over the sub, opened a square hatch at the top, and dipped his head inside. Pretty soon, he was in it up to his chest. Then he emerged from the bowels of his tiny $5 submersible, beaming with pride.
You can let go now. She's all set.
Dwight looked it over from stem to stern.
Wow.
Rosemary thanked God Dwight wasn't in tears. Gavin shook his head, but put on a happy face for their son.
Looks like someone's ready to hunt some Russians.
I can kill a commie for mommy.
What did you say?
Well, a couple of kids in school have shirts that say that.
Rosemary couldn't complain. She was the one who wanted him to go to public school, where there was no dress code and kids could establish their own identities. Gavin had been a good Catholic schoolboy who'd wanted his son to follow in his footsteps. Except that Rosemary knew Gavin and his buddies when they went to St. Michael's. Every one of them was a devil in a blazer and a clip-on tie. No way was she putting Dwight through that.
Hey, someone has to. They don't call him the Red Menace for nothing.
Gavin was doing his best to lighten her mood. He bent down to inspect the sub, reading the paper instructions.
Says it's supposed to be 6 feet long. I think they forgot the ship half of it.
Dwight crawled into the hatch, oblivious to his father's slight.
It's got a panel with all kinds of gauges and monitors.
Rosemary put her arm around Gavin's waist.
Don't complain. If it was any bigger, we wouldn't have any place to put it without tripping over it 10 times a day. And he loves it. God, to be 9 again.
Tell me about it. I remember spending entire summers playing with bottle caps I found in the street.
Raise the periscope!
Rosemary covered her mouth when she saw the tube that looked just like an empty roll of paper towels poke out from the top of the sub.
Dive! Dive! Dive!
I think he's forgotten we're here.
Well, do you want to finish what you started back in the kitchen? Looks like we'll have at least 15 minutes to ourselves.
Gavin's eyes lit up just the way Dwight's had when they pulled the sub out of the box.
You okay in that, bud?
Hard to port, sailor.
Rosemary grabbed his hand and led him up the stairs. Their clothes were off before they crossed the bedroom threshold. Rosemary got the frantic call from Edith Yancey just as she was struggling down the stairs with the old vacuum cleaner she'd inherited from her mother. It weighed more than Dwight and was louder than a pack of lions. She almost dropped it on her foot in her haste to answer the phone.
Hello?
Rosemary, the boys are okay, but I think you should come over.
What happened?
They were in the pool and... Well, I think it's just better if you were here.
Is Dwight all right?
Yes.
And Jimmy?
Both boys are fine. Wet and a little shook up, but fine.
I'll be right there.
She ran across the street to Edith's. The front door opened before she could even knock. Edith stood there in her soaking wet clothes. A single thought blazed across Rosemary's brain. She had had to dive into the pool to save them. Edith's normally feathered, bottle blonde hair was plastered to her skull, revealing dark roots.
They're in the kitchen.
Are you all right?
I'm fine. I really need to change. I'll be back down in a few.
Rosemary had to compose herself. She didn't want to barge in on the boys buzzing with frantic energy. That would just upset them. She bit her lip and pushed through the swinging saloon doors. Dwight and Jimmy sat at the kitchen table, towels over their shoulders, drinking from boxes of fruit punch. When Dwight saw her, his eyes were glassy with tears.
It's ruined.
She crouched down and smoothed the wet hair from his forehead. He really needed a haircut, but he kept insisting he wanted to grow it long, just like Jimmy, who looked like Sean Cassidy's love child.
Tell me what happened.
We really thought it would work.
Jimmy didn't look upset, or if he was, he hid it well. Then it hit her.
Dwight, did you put your submarine in the pool?
Yes.
You know it was made out of cardboard. Why would you do that?
Now he looked up at her, twin streams of tears snaking down his tan cheeks.
Well, it seems so strong, not like a box or anything. We wanted to try the periscope, but the other torpedoes would launch underwater.
She noticed the puddle of water by his feet. The torpedoes were black plastic cylinders that resembled lawn darts, only without the pointy end. Dwight had to shove them through an opening in the front of the sub. How did he not know that, at the very least, all of the water would run through that opening? She had to remind herself that he was just a kid, and kids do stupid things.
The whole thing collapsed around them.
Edith now had a towel wrapped around her head and wore fresh tennis shorts and a flowered shirt.
I just happened to go out back to water my plants when I saw it sinking. I jumped in and pulled them out. Luckily, it broke apart real easy.
I punched one of the walls right out.
Dwight leaned close to her.
I was scared.
Oh.
She hugged him hard.
You're all right now. Mrs. Yancey was right there, thank God.
He broke away from her embrace, rubbing his eyes with his knuckles, eyeing Jimmy, obviously ashamed for crying in front of his friend.
I'm sorry. The submarine got totally destroyed.
It's still in the pool. Oh, that stuff is heavy as H.E. double hockey sticks. Fred can fish it out when he gets home.
I'm so sorry, Edith. Dwight should have known better. And now your pool is ruined.
The pool is fine. It just has some litter in it for the moment, and they both should have known better.
I told Dwight it would sink.
That sure didn't stop you from hopping right in and going down with the ship, so to speak.
You're a true lifesaver.
Rosemary had always held Jimmy's mother at a distance because of the way Gavin, and any other red-blooded male on the block, glanced at her whenever she walked by. She couldn't blame them. Edith was a suburban Linda Carter, only with blonde hair. Gavin would never do more than window shop, but the threat Edith posed made it difficult for all of the women in the neighborhood to warm up to her. That would have to change. She'd saved her son's life, for goodness sake.
I'm just glad I walked outside when it happened.
Before she could stop herself, Rosemary had her arms around Edith.
I can't thank you enough. I can have Gavin fish the cardboard out of the pool.
Edith was stiff at first, but settled into the appreciative hug.
No need. Fred could stand to help out a little more around here.
After several more thank yous, Rosemary took Dwight home, Jimmy asking if he could come over later to watch TV.
Why don't you put on some dry clothes? I'll fix you up a snack.
Dwight didn't say a word. Fresh tears brimmed along his lower lids. She knew her son. He wasn't upset that he nearly drowned. He was young. In his mind, he was invincible. No, He was crestfallen that his amazing nuclear submarine was now 50 pounds of wet gunk. She could hear him upstairs. At first, she wanted to cry. Not just with him, but for him. The more she thought about it, the angrier she got. What kind of company would sell impressionable children a water toy made out of cardboard? Dwight couldn't be the only kid who'd thought to take the sub into a pool. She cut up an apple and poured some potato chips into a bowl, her jaw aching as she ground her wisdom teeth. Didn't the ad say there was a money-back guarantee? Oh, she wanted her $5 back. Dwight came down, eyes red and puffy, biting his lower lip as he took the apple and chips into the yard. Adventure Co. was going to refund her money after she gave them a good piece of her mind. She was about to ruin someone's day. Gavin came home to a stressed-out wife and no dinner.
Bad day?
He set his briefcase on the counter. Rosemary had spent the better part of her day in the hot kitchen, a sleeveless shirt clinging to her. Her sweaty hair was pulled back in a tight ponytail. She'd wiped her makeup off hours ago and was chewing on the end of a pencil.
We're gonna have pizza night early this week.
She ran down the list of phone numbers she'd written on the pad and crossed off one by one.
I've been a little preoccupied.
He grabbed a cold beer from the refrigerator and leaned over her, rubbing her shoulder.
I could see. What have you been up to?
Well, for starters, your son almost drowned today.
What?
Rosemary explained what had happened in Jimmy's pool, assuring him that Dwight was perfectly fine, at least physically.
Where is he now?
Upstairs with Jimmy. I set the TV up from our room in his room. They're watching one of the Planet of the Apes movies, I think. I gave them enough soda and junk food to last them a week.
Gavin plopped into the seat opposite her.
Poor little bug. So what's all this?
I'm trying to find Adventure Co.
Come again?
It's the company that makes the submarine. They're located in some little town I never heard of in South Carolina. At least that's what it says in the ad.
She showed him the open copy of Spider-Man.
At first, I wanted to call them and ream them out. I figured since they offered your money back, they'd have a hotline to handle complaints.
Gavin got another beer, along with one for her, popping the tops and keeping the rings on his finger.
I bet there's no such number, for the simple fact that everyone and their Aunt Ida would call to get the money back.
I've called Information, the Better Business Bureau, the Chamber of Commerce in Tegan's Mill. I even called Marvel Comics to see if I could speak with someone in the advertising department.
Wait, what's Tegan's Mill?
That little nothing town in South Carolina. I went to the library and got a map.
She unfolded the map and jabbed a finger in the center of South Carolina.
At least the town is real. Now, if Adventure Co. is actually there is another story. So far, it's not looking so good.
The cold beer was a welcome relief. Her guts had been burning all day, getting madder and madder as she struggled to find the show company.
Maybe you should let it go. Boys are okay, and that's all that really matters.
Yeah, but it's just...
The principle. I'm very much aware of my wife's compulsion to set the record straight. Now, look. You and I both know these companies are nothing but scam artists. They know it too, which is why they make it so hard to find them. Odds are, if you do locate anything remotely associated with this Adventure Co., it'll just be a little P.O. box with nary a human to yell at inside.
I know you're right, but I can't let this go. You, Edith, Fred, and I could all be planning funerals tonight. We came that close.
Gavin got up. Kissed the top of her head and took the pencil from her hand.
All the more reason to be thankful and appreciate the fact that Dwight and Jimmy are at this moment gorging on sugar and salt and reveling in ape madness.
She stole a glance at the phone on the wall. There were a couple of other numbers she wanted to call. Gavin shifted and blocked her view.
So instead of calling some rednecks in Bumfuck County, order us a couple of pies and let's eat and drink a bad day away. Work wasn't much of a picnic either. Come on, let's blow off some steam and get buzzed on a school night.
He nudged her with his elbow, eyebrows jumping up and down with that goofy smile that got her every time.
Fine. For now. I still want my money back.
I know you do. You're a dog with a bone. That's one of the things I love most about you. Well, that and your smoking hot body, of course.
Naturally, Jimmy stayed for pizza, extra cheese with pepperoni, and before they knew it, all of the paps was gone and Rosemary was relaxed for the first time all day, just in time to slip into bed. Gavin came out of the bathroom, toothpaste in the corners of his mouth.
I think that Irish coffee was a bridge too far.
He collapsed on his side of the bed, making Rosemary bounce and nearly pitch over the side. She hit him with a pillow.
Oh, you should call in sick tomorrow.
Can't. I have a meeting with Bob and Dennis first thing in the morning. Should be stellar.
I wish I could be a fly on the wall. Oh, good night, honey. Thank you for taking the stick out of my butt.
His breath tasted of beer and toothpaste.
It wasn't me. All the credit goes to Pabst Brewing Company. And I bet you can call them anytime you want.
Rosemary rolled under her side, Gavin onto his, resting cheek to cheek. Sleep came hard and fast. She dreamed she was back in school. Fifth grade in St. Augustus Elementary School, to be exact. She was about to be called on by Mrs. Doyle to solve a fraction equation on the board. She had no idea what the question even meant, much less how to get the answer. Fractions were a completely alien language to her. Mrs. Doyle had a habit of throwing chalk-encrusted erasers at students when they scribbled wrong answers. It didn't hurt, but it was humiliating.
Nobody moves until Rosemary solves the equation.
But the fire drill.
William Fogarty was a hall monitor and all-around rules stickler. Everyone hated him, although at this moment, Rosemary was in love with the guy.
What about it?
Don't we have to leave? There could be a fire.
Anyone who gets up gets a month of Saturday detention.
No one dared move a muscle. All eyes were on Rosemary.
Well, princess, we're waiting. You wouldn't want us all to burn to death just because you're afraid of a little fraction, would you?
Rosemary's knees knocked as she pushed her chair back. She clamped her hands over her ears, drowning out the clamoring of the bell and most of all Mrs. Doyle's harsh invective. She saw the old woman's wrinkled mouth move, but couldn't hear a thing.
You gonna get that?
Huh?
The phone.
The octave of his voice was at hangover depth. Rosemary opened an eye and saw it was just after 1 a.m. She fumbled for the phone, her brain trying desperately to wipe away the grade school nightmare. A phone call this late could only be bad news.
Hello? Hello? Who's calling?
Fuck you, whore.
In her sleepy state, she wasn't sure she'd heard correctly.
Excuse me, what did you say?
The line went dead.
Who was it?
Just a prank caller. Go back to sleep.
She settled the side of her face into the pillow.
Asshole.
Rosemary and Gavin nursed hangovers, and Dwight mercifully slept in. Gavin ate half a slice of toast before taking his coffee to go, hoping fresh air from the car ride would make him feel human before his meeting. Rosemary drank 2 glasses of water from the tap and went outside, soaking up the morning sun before it got too hot. She was sitting in the lawn chair dozing when Dwight woke her up.
Do we have any waffles?
She stretched and cupped his face in her hand.
We always have waffles.
How many you want?
2, with butter and syrup.
Coming right up.
What almost came up was last night's pizza, but she forced it down and by noon she was back to normal. Dwight moped around the house. There was plenty of stuff to do around the place, so she drafted him into service. Asking him to help her move a few boxes in the garage was a mistake. When he saw the cleared spot where his submarine had been, he started to tear up again.
I know I did something stupid, but can I get another submarine?
Rosemary did her best to contain her shock. The damn thing had nearly killed him 24 hours ago, and he already wanted another.
I don't think so, honey. The place that makes them is a bad company. We're not gonna buy anything from them again.
But if they gave you your money back, you could use it to buy a replacement. You wouldn't lose anything. You already spent the $5.
That's not the point.
Am I being punished?
Because I'm not buying you another submarine?
Yes.
The truth was, she had toyed with the idea of punishing him for what he had done, but she'd been too grateful to have him home and unharmed to go through with it. Plus, she'd been obsessed with finding those Adventure Cove bastards.
No, you're not punished. But I'm also not getting you another sub.
I hate you!
Before she could respond, he was out the open garage door, heading for Jimmy's house. She watched him ring the bell and after a few seconds, go inside without once looking back.
What the hell was that all about?
Unlike a lot of kids his age, Dwight had never been big on tantrums or backtalk. He'd only told her he hated her once before, when she grounded him for riding his bike where she'd told him not to go. A passing neighbor alerting her as to how far he'd strayed. Rosemary picked up the box and shoved it onto a shelf.
Fucking cheap sub. Wish I never ordered it.
That only reignited the flame to find someone, anyone in Adventure Co., and let them have it. Any chance of having peace of mind was nil until she had her say. She wished they were rich enough to afford a lawyer who could track Adventure Co. down with ease and sue the mother-loving crap out of them. The only lawyer they knew was Gavin's second cousin, and he did tax law out in Kansas. That wasn't going to do her any good. But knowing Ken, he'd probably charge them the full going rate. She'd set this morning aside to write out invitations to her next Tupperware party. With an afternoon trip to the post office, they'd have to wait. Grabbing her pad and pen, she picked up where she'd left off and dialed. This time, she called the office for the mayor of Tegan's Mill. She had no idea who the mayor was, but she'd gotten the number from the Chamber of Commerce. The mayor should be made aware that he or she was home to a shifty company that preyed on the dreams of children, only to hurt them, literally and figuratively.
Mayor Gillespie's office?
Hello. My name is Rosemary Lanchester. I'm not from Tegan's Mill. In fact, I live in New Hampshire.
Not a problem. How can I help y'all?
I've been trying to find a company that says it's headquartered in Tegan's Mill. So far, I've gotten nowhere. I was hoping the mayor's office would know.
I'm sure I can help. May I ask what this is in regards to?
Basically, I'd like to report them. They manufacture and sell dangerous toys to children. My son nearly drowned in one of their cheap products yesterday.
Oh my, that's terrible. Is your son okay?
Yes, he's fine. He was shaken up, but now he's just upset that his toy is broken.
Spoken like a true child. Bless his heart. How old is he?
He's 9.
Rosemary smiled, feeling some of the tea kettle pressure bleed off.
I'm sorry, I didn't ask your name.
No, I'm sorry. I should have told you right off the bat. I'm Patty Runyon, Mayor Gillespie's secretary.
It's so nice to hear a pleasant voice. I was like a dog chasing his tail yesterday, and no one was as nice as you.
Why, thank you. So, what's the name of this company? If they're operating out of our town, I'll either know them or be able to find them for you. And I'm sure Mayor Gillespie will have something to say to them as well.
Leaning against the kitchen counter, Rosemary couldn't help but smile. Everything she'd heard about Southern hospitality was right. She made a mental note to send Patty some complimentary Tupperware to thank her for everything.
Great. The company is called Adventure Co. They advertise in the back of comic books. They sell all kinds of junk, like those sea serpents that look like people, as well as X-ray glasses and the submarine that nearly cost my son his life.
Is Adventure Co. all one word?
Yes.
Doesn't ring a bell. You said they sold your son a submarine?
It was just a long piece of cardboard with some paint. My son, thinking it was the real thing, took it into the pool with his friend.
That's not good at all. I'll look into this for you and tell the mayor. What number can I call you back at, dear?
Rosemary gave her number, thanking Patty again for being so nice and helpful. She spent the rest of the morning waiting by the phone, drinking cup after cup of Sanka while nibbling on Stilladora cookies. At noon, she called Edith and asked how the boys were doing. Despite the heat, the pool was off limits today. Edith's house had central air, so they were happy up in Jimmy's room, reading comics and playing with G.I. Joes. She was just about to make them grilled cheese sandwiches. Thanking Edith again for saving Dwight, Rosemary turned on the tabletop fan and tried to read to take her mind off things.
A watched phone never rings.
She found where she'd left off in Sidney Sheldon's Master of the Game. The 400-page hardcover felt heavier than usual, the fan doing little to cool her off. It would be smart to read outside under the shade of the dogwood tree, but she didn't want to miss the call when it came. She wasn't aware she had fallen asleep until... The book fell to the linoleum. She looked up at the clock. It was almost 3.
No more drinking on school nights.
It felt as if the hangover was coming back, but that was impossible. She was just overheated. Her back ached from dozing in an odd position. Not wanting to waste the entire day, she got some chicken out of the refrigerator and prepared breaded cutlets in the shake-and-bake bags. She also made a salad and cut up some potatoes so she could sauté them in butter later. Food prep completed, she decided to tackle those invitations. She had over 30 to fill out. At least she could make a dent in them today. She was writing one out to Mrs. Cranfield when the phone rang. She dropped her pen and grabbed the phone.
Hello?
Is this Rosemary Lanchester?
Yes, this is Rosemary.
I'm Bob Gillespie. You spoke to my secretary earlier today.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for calling me back.
There is no Adventure Co. in Tegan's Mill.
Are you sure? That's the address they list in their ad.
There is no Adventure Co. in Tegan's Mill.
Could they have been there in the recent past? I'm sure a place like that has to move around a lot, keep one step ahead of the complaints, or even the law. They have ads in all the comic books, so they have to be somewhere, spending good money to rip people off.
They are not in my town, nor have they ever been in my town.
I understand. I was just hoping...
Don't call my office again.
Hello? Maybe I was wrong about Southern hospitality.
She hung up and looked to her pad for the Better Business Bureau. This time she called to file an official complaint, not just ask for information on Adventure Co. The person she spoke to took her information and complaint with cold efficiency. She was peppered with questions, which she answered, then thanked for taking the time to call before she was hung up on for the second time that day. No, make that three times, she thought. She'd forgotten about the prank caller in the middle of the night. Gavin came home, with Dwight not far behind, saving her from spiraling into her own angry thoughts. She made dinner, and Dwight talked as if he hadn't yelled that he hated her and left in a huff earlier. That was fine by her. She needed some normalcy. They ate and later watched Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley before Dwight had to head up to bed. She never did tell Gavin about her calls or Dwight's outburst. No sense picking at the wound. The box arrived a week later, addressed to Dwight. Rosemary looked at the return address.
Adventure Co., Tegan's Mill, South Carolina.
No street address. Not even a crummy P.O. box. Dwight was across the street in Jimmy's pool. Using a pair of scissors, she opened the box and, after much struggling, extracted a new cardboard submarine. A sealed envelope was clipped to the instructions. She slid a nail under the flap and took out the handwritten note.
We're sorry to hear that your son experienced difficulties with his nuclear submarine. Please accept this replacement submarine as our way of showing our commitment to fun and quality.
That was it? No signature, no acknowledgement that the difficulties had in fact been her son almost drowning in that cardboard joke.
Commitment to fun and quality? Are they kidding?
If Rosemary's head wasn't screwed on tight, it would have spun off and rolled right out the door.
I can't let Dwight see this.
There was no way in hell she would let her son play in the submarine or anything else from Adventure Co. She knew he'd never take it in the water again, but it was the damn principle. These scumbags didn't care that their product had nearly killed her son. This was just their lame way of saving some face. They most likely got wind of her complaint to the Better Business Bureau. So what was their solution? Send the same dangerous contraption to finish the job. They didn't even refund her money. The very least they could have done, and what they vowed to do in their ad. Not that she held any credence in anything they put in print. She went to the garage and rummaged through Gavin's battered toolbox until she found the box cutter, easing the blade out with her thumb. She went back to the foyer and got to work slicing the sub and the box it came in into manageable rectangles. After arranging it into a small tower, she tied it all up with twine and dragged it outside, laying it next to the garbage cans on the side of the house. Dwight returned wearing a wet towel over his shoulder, just as she stepped into the front yard.
Were you jogging?
Huh?
You look the way you do when you jog.
She wiped at her forehead, slathering salty sweat down her face and into her eyes. She'd been so focused on destroying the sub that she hadn't even noticed the heat.
I was just busy doing some cleaning. You having fun at Jimmy's?
Yeah. He has to go with his mom to the allergist, but he said I can come over later if that's okay with you.
As much as she wanted her son with her, their house was no match for central air and a pool.
Okay, but only if Jimmy lets us repay him by taking you both to see Superman 3.
Really?
She hugged him and kissed his chlorinated hair.
Really? We can catch the matinee at the Katona tomorrow.
He squeezed her as hard as he could.
You're the best!
She watched him practically skip inside. Would he say that if he knew what she'd just done to his new submarine? No matter. She had done the right thing. Besides, she wanted to see Superman 3 too. That Christopher Reeves wasn't bad to look at, especially in those tights. They went to the movies the next day, and because she was feeling guilty, she let Dwight buy anything he wanted at the concession counter. That meant she sprung for the large butter popcorn, Junior Mints, Twizzlers, and some off-brand peanut butter cups. The boys tore into the snacks like starved wolverines. It didn't take any special mom senses to see that she'd be consoling a son sick to his stomach all night long. Just something else to feel guilty about. And to make matters worse, the movie was terrible. Gavin had taken her to the drive-in to see the first two Superman movies, and even though they were cheesy, she liked them all the same. The latest installment was an eye-rolling disaster. But Dwight and Jimmy loved it, and in the end, that was all that mattered. Plus, the air conditioning was set on Arctic Blast, which felt wonderful. It had been a sweltering summer. She didn't mind shivering midway through the movie.
Can I be Superman for Halloween?
They had just dropped Jimmy off at his house.
Isn't it a little early to be thinking about Halloween?
Yeah, maybe. But the second they put out the costumes at Woolworths, we have to get one.
When she opened the front door, the trapped heat in the closed-up house punched them in the face.
You got it.
She fanned herself as she dropped her keys on the little table in the foyer. By the time Halloween rolled around, Dwight would have changed his mind about what he wanted to be at least a dozen times.
I'm going outside.
She looked out the back window. Dwight stood over the sprinkler, getting soaked in his clothes. At least he'd had the good sense to take his sneakers off. Rosemary was tempted to get her bathing suit and join him. The varicose veins that had come along with her pregnancy 9 years ago had only gotten worse. She rarely wore anything that revealed her legs, even though there were just a few starbursts of spider veins on her calves. She was even self-conscious about them in the privacy of her own yard. But it looked so cool and inviting. When she was a kid, she didn't know anyone who had a pool. A sprinkler, or the occasional fire hydrant that was opened by the fire department, were the only ways to cool off on hot days, other than taking a cold shower. Dwight unscrewed the sprinkler so he could drink greedily from the hose, cold water splashing across his face as he lapped it up. There was no water on earth crisper and more thirst-quenching than that from a summer hose.
That's it. I'm going out there. Hello?
You shouldn't have done that.
What?
That wasn't very nice.
Who is this?
It wasn't yours to destroy.
Destroy?
Did you really think you could get away with it? It wasn't meant for you.
Look, I don't appreciate you calling me and speaking to me like this. Who do you think you are?
We take customer complaints very seriously. Very seriously.
I know where you're calling from. Let me speak to a manager.
You thought you could get away with it, didn't you? Poor mommy. You can't protect him forever.
She thought she was going to pass out, the sudden rush of blood to her head overwhelming.
I'll call the police.
You'll have enough on your hands. Right about now.
What did you do?
Dwight held one of the stacks of cardboard that had been his replacement submarine. He dripped all over the floor, his hair in his eyes. Rosemary was stunned speechless.
Why didn't you tell me they sent me another one? And why did you destroy it?
I did it to protect you, honey.
He threw the cardboard at her feet.
You did it because you're mean. You were happy when the first one was destroyed.
She reached out to him, but he stepped back several paces as if her touch were acid.
No, no, no. That's not it at all.
You're a liar! You didn't tell me anything! That makes you a liar!
Rosemary was on the verge of tears, seeing the hurt in Dwight's eyes, hearing the accusations from his mouth.
I never want to talk to you again!
He flicked her hand away and she went to touch his shoulder to calm him down and try to somehow explain in a way he'd understand. It was probably a good thing he left, because her brain's inertia wouldn't have been able to come up with two coherent sentences in a row. She couldn't take her eyes off the tied-up pile of painted cardboard. If she could incinerate it with a glance, she would have reduced it to ashes. The sound of the stranger's laughter sent icy footsteps down her spine. She looked at the phone, spinning clockwise by her ankles. Reaching over to pick it up, she reluctantly put the receiver to her ear.
Don't fuck with us. We mean it.
As if in a trance, she slowly hung up, pulling a chair out so she could sit staring at the cardboard. What the hell had just happened? She was scared and angry and sad, and she'd hurt Dwight. It was all too much. A terrifying thought snapped her out of her crying jag. The man on the phone had known exactly when Dwight was going to come into the house, upset with his discovery, which meant the man was outside, watching them. She got up so fast the chair skittered across the floor. She rushed from window to window, searching for any sign of a man nearby. Just because she didn't see anyone didn't mean they weren't out there. Maybe he was sitting in that blue van across the street, the tinting on the window so dark she'd need to be Superman to see through them. As much as she wanted to run up to the van and peer inside, she couldn't bring herself to do it. She was too afraid to even touch the knob on the front door. Grabbing Gavin's softball bat from the closet, she hunkered down in a chair in the living room, senses on high alert. But if he was in the van, how did he call her? Was he in one of the neighbors' houses? She shivered at the thought. She checked the clock. Gavin wouldn't be home for another 2 hours. It would be the longest 2 hours of her life. After a thorough search of not just their yard, but every car parked on the street, Gavin returned drenched in sweat, his tie loosened, the top buttons of his shirt undone, stray chest hairs poking out from his undershirt.
You see anything?
Rosemary was still clutching the bat. The moment Gavin had walked in the door, she told him everything in a frantic burst. At first, he'd had to ask her to slow down and repeat herself, his mind trying to catch up with everything. After the second iteration, he told her to sit tight and lock the door while he went outside to look for the man.
Nothing. Except for George walking his dog. Whoever it was must have taken off right after the call. Damn coward. Does Dwight know?
No. He's been in his room the whole time.
Gavin wiped the sweat from the back of his neck.
Well, that's one good thing.
What do we do now?
I'm calling the cops. I'm not letting some psycho threaten my wife and look around my house. This is why I told you I should have a gun.
She didn't want to get into the old gun argument again. Not now. He started to get a beer out of the refrigerator and thought better of it.
They come in for a statement. I don't want them to think we're drunk and imagine the whole thing.
While he dialed 911, she hoped Dwight stayed upstairs a little longer. She didn't want him to overhear anything. Gavin took charge, explaining everything to the police as calmly and succinctly as possible. Rosemary wasn't sure she could have done it even half as well. Her nerves were a jangled mess. Her husband had always been at his best when things were at their worst. After 5 minutes...
Thanks.
Then he went back and got that beer.
Are they coming?
He said there's no need. If there are any more calls or if we spot someone around the house who shouldn't be here, we should call again and they'll send someone right away.
Shouldn't they tap the phone or something so they can find him?
I'm pretty sure they don't think this rate's a wiretap. Though I'd give anything to find where the call came from and wipe the floor with his face.
He wrapped a strong arm around her, rubbing her shoulder.
I'm so sorry you had to be the one to get the call.
You have nothing to be sorry for.
Hey, bud. Just in time to order Chinese.
Dwight eyed them suspiciously but said nothing. Rosemary couldn't help but notice he avoided her gaze.
I'm not hungry.
Bud's not hungry. But call a priest. I think we have one of the signs of the apocalypse.
Gavin did his best to relieve the pressure in the room, working harder than a Catskill comedian on free appetizer night. Dwight was too upset to play along. He simply turned and walked back up to his room.
Wow, he's pissed.
I guess he has a right to be.
No way. Not after the way that asshole spoke to you. The last thing we want is our son playing with anything from that, what's it called?
Just saying the name formed a cold fist in the pit of her stomach.
Adventure Co.
He put down the beer and hefted the bat.
Well, if Adventure Co. knows what's good for them, they'll have had their fun and are long gone, never to return. Because if I catch any of them around here, it's gonna get ugly.
Rosemary shivered despite the cloying heat. Things were already ugly.